You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hiltons bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hiltons greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've done for a lot of years here. And it's called Raising the Standard. And our purpose and what we want with through God's anointing and teaching and unction is to raise the standard in the body of Christ. So many things that we don't know that we should know because men have covered it up and thought a new way or a different way. And so we welcome all you listeners wherever you are. And I know right now, Donna, we always say every week somebody's listening for the very first time. So we welcome you to the program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we do have CDs available. If you miss part of the program or you want to just listen to it again, all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's the ministry's name. Send it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. Right, Pastor Diane?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You can give them the phone number. And
I will do that. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. And we just bless them, and we just thank the Lord that the building is going up, the temple of God. So we want to say hi to everyone over there, to Mary and all those that listen from Andros Island in
yes,
the Bahamas.
Lord.
And our the telephone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. And I want to mention that we do have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Alliance Church, and that's at 445 Southeast Osceola Street, and that's right near the water in the hospital.
Real close.
In Stuart, Florida. Amen.
After you come to church, you can take a swim.
Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Splash in the water, get the anointing of the water of the Spirit of God, and then you get the real thing, too.
The anointing, that's right. We're talking about Pentecost.
We've and the anointing.
We've been talking about Pentecost and the anointing.
Yeah.
And Pastor Gene, we're blessed to have Margie Swaney with us again today.
Yeah.
And we're blessed to have Melanie. And tell me your last name.
McClure.
McClure. I'll make sure I say that right. Melanie McClure with us. And you've been on the radio before.
Yes, yes.
So we're glad to have you here with us today. Amen.
Glad to be here. Amen.
Glory to God. So, Pastor Gene, did you want to go ahead and start?
I just wanted to mention, say hello. You mentioned Roscoe and Audrey.
Yes.
We want to thank all you people that listen weekly, and we hear from you from time to time, and even the ones that we only hear once in a while. But we welcome you, and we thank you for your offerings that you give. And this month was almost totally covered, wasn't it, Pastor
Don? It was.
Don?
It was
wonderful. With love offerings that came in. So if you would like to do that, you know, 1 week cost us $165. So if the Lord would speak to you in that area, we'll just send it in to us, mark it for that purpose, and we'll make sure that it'll be used for God's glory and His honor with the radio program. Amen.
So each hour that we're on, each is $165. So,
right.
And we do thank those people who have helped out.
A lot.
And yes, a lot. And helped keep this broadcast on the radio. Amen. So glory to God. Amen. We give him the glory. We give Amen. God all the glory. Because yes. God's called praise us to raise the standard and pray that the Lord will use other people to raise the standard
right.
as well. Amen. And pray for WCNO because WCNO, that's their goal is to raise the standard as
that's
well.
Right.
And just bring forth the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. So I want you to keep praying for Roscoe and Audrey, as Donna mentioned early. Over on Andros, he's getting ready to put that roof on that building. Almost all the supplies are in,
wow.
and they have a few things to do yet, but he's anxious to get it going, so we want to continue to lift them up. And if you're led to give anything, it's called the Temple of God on Andros Island. If you're led to give anything at all for that roof, just send it to the radio, to our address. We just gave it to you. Post office box, or call us. Post office box 413, Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995 and mark it for Andros Island, and we'll make sure they get every penny of it. Amen.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here. We're talking about Pentecost. Today happens to be the 35th day of counting the Omer. So we're getting really close to the 50 days, but it's a long haul when you think about it for 50 days. But God's wanting us to know some new things. So I thought this week, as I thought about this, prayed about it a little bit, that there were so many manifestations we know after Jesus came to the earth, what he accomplished, and we see all the miracles that he did in the Gospels and all that, and then he passed that on to his disciples over in Acts chapter 2, and we see all through the book of Acts what happened, just miracle after miracle, signs and wonders and all that, and people today, for some reason, just don't want to see those things. Now, Don and I, you know, we got saved in 1982. We've been in a lot of meetings, and we've seen a lot of unusual things that people question. Well, I don't question anything that God does. You know, I don't want to be superstitious about things. I'm just, whatever I see out there, it's a God's purpose for every person. And he reacts differently with each person because he knows what we need.
Yeah,
like years ago when we had Rodney Howard Brown, with the laughter. Well, they thought he was making that up. He didn't make that up. That was God doing all that. Yeah. And, you know, laughter's medicine for the bones. And a lot of people got set free from that. So we're going to talk about some of these manifestations today and maybe clarify some things that people don't understand. The first place I want to go is over to John chapter 18 to show you one here. This is before Jesus died and rose from the grave. But this is an interesting scripture if we look at it real close. And then we're going to look at some of these things. John chapter 18. When they came in the garden, remember the temple guards to take mm-hmm. Jesus? Verse 4 says, Jesus therefore, having known all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He was right there with them. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. Did you notice where it says, I am he? Mm-hmm. Did you know in your Bible the letters for he are in italics.
That's right.
They were not in the original text. So when he spoke, he said, I am. It's all through the scriptures. Amen?
I am. I am
Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. And they got he and he is God. He's the God man. Amen? If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. But verse 6 is when it caught my eye thinking about manifestations. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. So there's an example. They couldn't stand under the power of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And he was right there. So that's what we're going to look into. I got a whole bunch of them here. I've kind of collected these over the years, and this is an interesting topic to talk about. And I got this out this morning. I was looking at it. Jonathan Edwards wrote a treatise back, and listen to this, in 1741. Well, that's a lot of years ago, called The Distinguishing Mark of the Spirit of God. He stated that we could recognize God's hand by five sure distinguishing scripture evidences. Here they are. Number one, it raises the esteem of Jesus in our community, which brings transformation, mm-hmm. salvation, mm-hmm. and all those wonderful things. Number two, it works against the kingdom of Satan. And so mm-hmm. people that contradict what God's doing, well, they're just helping Satan out when we blaspheme what God's wanting us to do. When we say, well, this is not for today or that's not for today. Well, we're blaspheming God because God doesn't put anything in place and then take it away. Amen?
Right.
Number three, it stimulates a greater regard for the Holy Scriptures. I remember when I got to baptism. I mean, when I got born again, I was excited. But when I got to baptism of the Holy Ghost with my prayer language, man, I went from one place. I was way up here all of a sudden with my faith. And number four, it's a spirit of truth, what? makes it. It's always the spirit of truth. And the fifth thing, it manifests a renewed love of God and of man as well. Isn't that amazing?
That's so true.
That's right. So I thought we might mention some of these. And I'll just take them. We can't do all of them, but I thought we might take a few. We came to this verse here, falling on the floor, or we call it slain in the spirit, yeah, under the power of the Lord and so on. So we got some places to look at here. The one I wanted to look at was in, we already looked at John 18:6. Okay. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation chapter 1, and we'll see some things that happened in the New Testament, and it follows a lot of things that happened in the first covenant as well. Verse 17, look what it says. This is the Apostle John. And when I saw him, who did he see? He saw Yeshua. Mm-hmm. I fell at his feet as dead. He just passed out, didn't he, in his spirit. Spirit touched him, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Isn't that amazing?
Hallelujah. Yes. Mm-hmm. First and the last.
Now, let's look at a couple in the first covenant. Let's go over to Daniel chapter 10 that I've written down here over the years. Now, you could spend a lot of time talking on every one of these, but we'll try to kind of take them in order here.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I'm going to take you over to Daniel. Where did I say? Chapter 10. This is pretty good right here. All right. Chapter 10. And let's start in verse 7 here. Well, I'm in 6. The Lord appeared to him. It says his body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Who was listening to this? This is Daniel. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. And I heard a voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. So he must have just fell out in the spirit, mm-hmm, listening to what God was going to say to him. Okay, Ezekiel.
And verse 10 says, behold, a hand touched me.
That's right. That's
which
right.
Which set me upon my knees and mm-hmm upon the palms.
That's right.
Of my hands. Wow. Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Now I'm going to go to
power of God.
Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. We can see some other things that Ezekiel saw. He must have been blown away with some of the things that he saw in the book of Ezekiel. And the verses I want to look at here is chapter 1, verse 28 to start with. It says this, he had this vision, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness around round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then we have also in Ezekiel chapter 3, over there, verse 23, shows something the same way. It says this here. I'm going to read 22 with it. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river Kebar, and I fell on my face. Hushamandalaba. They just couldn't stand on their feet. So we have some amazing things we look at. Let's go over all the way over to 2 Chronicles now. We'll back up a little bit. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Let's see what we have over here. I like to read the scriptures rather than just quote them all the time.
Yes.
There's something about if you're at home and you got your Bible, you can open it up and you can read for yourself. And when you do, it connects. You know, faith comes by what? By hearing.
Hearing.
And by hearing what?
The word of God.
And so when you do that, you're going to get something more out of it than you would expect. I've always have, and I always will. Chapter 5, I took you to. And the verse I'm looking at here, I wrote down, is verse 14. This is when the... Let's start in verse 11 and read some scriptures here. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified. Hear that? Set apart, mm-hmm. and did not then wait by course. They all had to be there. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, of Asaph, of Heman, and Jeduthun, and their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests among, or 120 priests sounding with trumpets. How many people were in the upper room?
120.
Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
Amazing.
That's right. So this is
worshiping.
This is a picture of what we're going to see in the future too. Verse 13, it says, it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, see, unity.
One accord,
to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Verse 14, so that the priest could not stand to minister. They all probably fell out by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And of course, that's
Amen.
A reference of Acts chapter 2.
Amen.
So that's all about falling in the presence of the Lord in that way. Amen. Now, I don't know, Don, I've been in a lot of meetings. I spent a lot of time on the floor in my life. Amen. And people say, well, that's not real. Well, I'll tell you, it's real. It's happened to me many times. You don't know why you're on the floor, but you're there. And they say,
sometimes you can get stuck on the floor.
That's right.
Or a wall. I got stuck on a wall once.
Yeah.
That was a weird experience. In fact, you know, we're talking about the glory. One time we had a women's meeting, and
you tell them about that.
Yeah, that was And anyways, I was the speaker, and the anointing was so strong, and when people started walking by, they were falling out, and I didn't even touch anybody.
That's right.
And it's the anointing. It's not the person. It's the anointing.
You're right.
That God releases because He wants to bless people, and He wants to touch people and heal them. Amen.
Manifestation.
That's what we're talking about.
We're talking about manifestations of the Spirit of God.
Manifestations. And, you know, interesting when you talked about Jesus, when He said, I am, that was before the resurrection.
That's right.
That happened. And so He was, you know, he is God, but He was a man. He hadn't died and resurrected yet. And then what did He tell us over there in Acts 2? He said that, I might as well just go there real quick.
Remember, he was the Son of God. And He was a Son of Man. He was both, wasn't
both.
He? But he was the God-man in the flesh, boy.
And He said, you know, that these things would happen.
That's right.
Over there in Acts 2. I'm just going to read one scripture, 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Here's your visions. And your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And what are we going to see? Wonders. And it goes on and talks about what's going to happen in the last days.
That's right.
So glory to God.
It's wonderful, isn't it, huh?
It is marvelous.
Now, I'm just going to share something, too. You people that are listening may not know this man, but we had a dear brother. We still love him very much, and he's in glory now. His name is Larry Lambert, and he was a pastor for a while, and then he became basically a traveling evangelist. And we sat in a lot of his meetings. And one time they had an evangelist come to Stewart's here, and we had a big tent meeting at the fairgrounds, and there was lots of people. And they put a carpet out and all that. And they had a friend of theirs, Larry and his wife, up north, that wanted touch from God. And so Larry and his wife says, why don't you come on down to these meetings we're having and get a touch and see what God will do. So she was so hungry, she got on a plane and she came down and she stayed with them. So the one night that we were there with them, she came up front for a prayer. Somebody laid hands on her. And by the way, she fell out in the Spirit. Well, how can that happen? I don't know.
Fell out in the Spirit.
The power was there and she just fell out. Well, the meeting went on. She laid on the floor. When the meeting was over, we waited, I don't know, 25 or 30 minutes. We were talking to other people. And Larry says, let's go pick her up, Pastor Gene. So we went up, both of him and I got an arm. We could not lift her off of the off of that ground. I pulled and Larry pulled. We could not budge. So we left. He says, just leave her alone. So we left and we came back. I don't know. It was about a half an hour later. We still couldn't get her up. So it was nearly an hour when we finally came back and she was able to at least bend in the middle and sit up. And Lori, I asked Larry, I said, what in the world do you think this is? I'll tell you what it is. He said, it's the glory of God that's resting on that young lady. And what she needed, she came down for, and God's given it to her.
Yeah, it's the weight of the glory.
That's right.
It's a weight, a weighty glory.
It's the weight. Yes.
So I wanted to read some things here I'd written years ago. You know, the Holy Spirit seems to do a wide variety of things in a person's personal life during this time. What? When you're laid out on the floor. It's a renewed understanding of God's holiness, an inward healing of emotions, an anointing for ministry, a giving of direction for life, a refreshing of God's love and intimacy, the giving of a vision from God. All that can happen while you're on the floor.
Yeah.
And Donna mentioned, we've been in meetings, people got, when Rodney Howard Brown was in town way back, there were so many people got stuck on the floor, they couldn't get them out of the auditorium. They left the church open all night long. Some people stood on the wall all night long. They just pinned to the wall, couldn't move. So who are we going to question? You know, we can't question what God's doing. But a lot of people came, they were just, remember, you want to get rid of this word with the Holy Ghost. They were suspicious.
Suspicious.
Okay. They had a suspicious spirit. They didn't come to check to see what God would do with them. They were looking at what everybody else was doing and trying to make a decision. And so a lot of bad things were said on the radio and all during that time because of the move of God that happened here. People got healed. They got born again, stirred, activated, you know, and it's amazing what happened. And so we got to not question what God's doing. And I'll tell you, one of the important things today, I believe, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he'll do what he wants to do. And if we just yield to him, I've said this 100,000, one of them, probably, maybe not that many, but a lot, that God will give it to you if he can get it through you. And that's what we got to be a receiver. When people come up and we pray for people and they start praying in tongues, I says, nope, don't pray. You know, a two-way radio, you can't talk and speak and transmit at the same time. Just be quiet and receive right now. Quiet and receive. And then pray and let them receive what you have to say to them. So this is an important thing about the falling out in the spirit. But a lot of people deny it. They say it's not real. And we know that, hey, I don't doubt it, that there's probably, you go to meetings, some ministers, they'll push people down. But I don't like that. I don't want to see anybody push anybody down. And I've been in meetings where they called the pastors up front, and I was there, and the minister just walked by me, and I was on the floor. And how did I get on the floor? Because I couldn't stand. I was on the floor, and nobody touched me. Nobody pushed me down. Well, that's the real thing, you know.
And you might be crying. You might be laughing.
That's right. One minister said, don't give me a CD, a courtesy drop. Just, if it's not the Holy Ghost, just stay on your feet. He can touch you standing up as well as laying flat on your back, you know.
That's right.
Some people don't ever get a touch like that. We've had people in our church in the past says, well, I'll never be on the floor. I remember one gentleman was in our leadership years ago, great man too. And he said, I'll never do that. That'll never happen to me. And one day he was up there, and all of a sudden he was on the floor. And when he got up, he says, well, how did I get down here? I said, brother, I don't know how to tell you how you got down there. All I know is that God touched you, and what you said you wouldn't do, he decided he was going to do. And when God moves, something's going to give, and it's not going to be him. It's going to be you if you're willing to receive. Amen. Go ahead, Pastor Doug.
Hallelujah. Well, we have you two. Who would like to go first?
Go ahead, Marge.
Okay, Margie, go ahead. What do you? I know you have some things to share, too.
Well, praise the Lord. And you just stop me, Pastor Don, if I... I'd like to talk about the manifestation also.
Oh, okay. Okay, that sounds good.
The Lord showed that with
me. There's a lot of them.
So I looked up the word manifestation.
Good.
It means to reveal, to make appear, to make public. It's clear evidence, the act of disclosing what is secret, unseen or obscure. Discovery to the eye or to the understanding, as the wisdom and power of God's creation. And the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, it was manifested, was the marriage in Cana.
Yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it, huh?
In John 2.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. And 1 through 9, you can read that. And Jesus instructed them what to do. And in verse 3, 4, and 5. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.
Yes.
His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And I thought that was very powerful. And, you know, whatever the Lord asks us of us, it's very important that we follow his instructions too.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. The mother of Jesus said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith, do it.
That's right.
Do it.
It is important to follow his instructions.
That's it.
Well, that is the very key, which I think you might fall in on. You need to hear the voice of the Lord mm-hmm. to be able to follow his instructions.
Amen.
And so here, his mother's asking this, which it wasn't his time. He was saying it wasn't his time. And to me, the wine, I think about communion. And so yeah. I think, and the water, I think about the water and the blood that came out of his side when they pierced his side. Mm-hmm. So to me, this is his first miracle.
Yes.
And then
yes.
the last one was what happened on the cross.
Yes.
And as he shared with his disciples their last meal together, he talked about it, and they didn't understand it.
That
so,
time,
so
yeah.
at this point was, this water turned to wine, right?
Yes.
Miraculously, it turned to
yes.
wine. But also when his, I mean, why would they stab him? I mean, when they put that in, they wanted people to know that water and blood came out of his side. They wanted to be, and it had to be in the Word of God, because Jesus talks about wine so many times throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to me, it's like the first miracle and like a last miracle, because it was, I think they're related a lot.
Yes.
Yes,
they are.
Oh, they are.
They are related.
Mm-hmm. Intertwined.
Intertwined.
The water
that's a good word.
Is,
intertwined.
The water represents life.
You can't have one without the other.
You can't have one without the other.
That's good.
No, and interesting, too, when he came back, you know, he had no blood.
That's right.
We're
that's
not
right.
going to need, it's only going to be bone and no blood, a new body.
Just a new body.
And we'll have a new body as well. We
Amen.
Won't need blood.
He doesn't need the one.
No. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, Marcia, go ahead.
Praise the Lord. That's good. So the manifestation is, and the miracle was Jesus turning the water into wine. Thank you, Father.
And it was the best.
It was
save
the best.
Save the best. The best was for last.
Right. Yes, and it was
said, that's what we have.
It was said in the scripture that they had other wine and they drank it, but this was saved for the best. This
the very
was
best.
For the end.
Yes.
That's all prophetic, isn't it?
Sure
That's
is.
Good one.
The next one was the feeding of the 5,000.
It's another wonderful miracle.
And that's in Matthew 14.
While Margie's turning there, I was going to mention, you know, it's been said many times, different places. I hope people listen to this. You know, it's been said that God offends the mind to get into the heart.
Yes.
So, you know, people get offended over this, and some people do. But if you'll just allow him to do the work he wants to do, he'll get into your heart, and that'll change your whole thought about your where you're at and all that. So especially about spiritual things.
Amen.
Go ahead, Margie.
Thank you, Lord. In Matthew 14, 13 through 21, it talks about the 5,000 being fed. And this was right after the death of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And Matthew 14, in verse 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, which is the death of John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So this great multitude had been following him for quite some time. And Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them. And I saw the manifestation of God working in Jesus. He had the compassion towards the people, and he healed their sick. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And in verse 15, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away." They weren't seeing. They didn't have that, what Jesus was feeling. Jesus had the compassion. And the disciples were saying, "Send them home so that they could feed themselves and go into the village and buy their victuals." In 16, but Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat."
Hallelujah.
So you can already see the manifestation that Jesus was already doing. He's manifesting God's glory here. In 17, and they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And Jesus said, "Bring them hither to me." Thank you, Father. And remember that Mary, Jesus' father, said, do whatever God says, do it. And then 19, and he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven. There's a manifestation. Jesus always looked up to heaven to where
his answers come from,
where his strength was, mm-hmm. because he did nothing without the Father. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. He looked up to heaven and he blessed the 5 loaves mm-hmm. and the 2 fish. He didn't question it. He believed.
Excuse me.
In John 5, 1 through 5. Thank you, Father. This is where Jesus heals on the Sabbath.
They didn't like that, did they?
No, they didn't care for that too much.
Their legalistic aspect, yeah.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there was at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Thank you, Lord. So in verse 6 through 21, Jesus begins to manifest his glory. And the glory comes from above.
Yep.
Comes from his Father. His glory, the miracle that Jesus performed. He was revealing to the public. He was manifesting, giving this man clear evidence that he, Jesus, was going to heal him. In verse 6, Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" So Jesus is asking him, "Do you want to be healed?" In verse 7, the man with the infirmity said, "There was no man to put me into the pool."
Yep.
So in verse 8, I'd like to read, "Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." So here you see the Lord's manifestation of his glory. He is manifesting the miracle in this man's body by saying, "Arise." get up and walk. In verse 9.
It's interesting. He gave him a command.
Yes.
And he had to do something before he could walk. He had to get up.
Obedience.
And obedience. Right. He didn't lay there and say, I can't.
That was
so
the manifest.
People say, I can't.
I can't, yes.
Now, if he had decided not to try, then
he would not,
he would
have,
not
received.
Have been healed. Right. So it was he gave him a command. Jesus actually gave him a command to Amen. Get up and walk.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
And it was on the Sabbath.
Yeah. And it was on the Sabbath, and you weren't really supposed to be doing those
That's
things.
That's what they claim, yeah.
In verse 9, as Pastor Donna just said, he immediately got up and was made whole.
Hallelujah.
Jesus demonstrated to the public and then manifested the miracle the man did need.
You know, I was just thinking when she's talking about this, everybody's listening will say, well, Jesus did all those things. What about us? Mm-hmm. Remember the man that was on the pallet and he was reaching out with his hands and whatever, wanting alms. And Peter and John came along and they said, silver and gold have I not, but of such as I have, I give you. Stand up, took him by the hand, stand up. He had to be obedient. And they took him by the hand and he stood up. And so he was healed.
He was healed.
He was healed instantly. So that wasn't Jesus. That was one of his disciples that did that.
Amen. So even in our obedience, that is the Lord being manifested in even in our obedience to
That's
him.
Right. Everything by obedience.
Thank you, Lord.
You're willing and obedient.
Is everything okay, Pastor Donna?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Father.
The Bible says we'll eat the good of the land if we do that. We're willing and obedient.
Yes. The man with the infirmity took a step of faith.
Yep.
In verse 9 and 10. Jesus spoke, and the man got up and was made whole. In verses 19 through 21. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself.
Hallelujah.
But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. For the Father loveth the Son, and he showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
And verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And this is Jesus speaking. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.
Yeah, that he's just means he's right.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's good.
And John 15 also, 1 through 6, if you'd like to read. Whatever Jesus did in his ministry, he looked up to his Father
always.
In heaven. Never on himself. He never did anything
on his own
without his Father.
That's right.
Spirit to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When we confess our sins before Jesus and are born again, the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost resides in us. Spirit to spirit. And the ministry he gives us works the same way.
That's right.
We can do nothing without the Spirit of God in our life.
That's good, Margie.
And in 15, verse 1, if we have time, the Father is saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Thank you, Father. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Yes.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you.
Yes.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. It is so important that we abide in the vine, because we cannot do our ministries he gives us without him. The Father says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Hallelujah.
For without me ye can do nothing.
Thank you, Lord. It's good.
Here also in this chapter, I am is mentioned several times. Jesus
right.
said, I am. Mm-hmm. I am the true vine. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine. And
thank you, Lord.
The I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay.
So what'd you have on yours? What'd you have there, Mary?
I'd like to kind of unpack this a little bit. I think it's been so exciting what
Glory.
Everyone's had to say. Amen, amen. I'd like to, Marge, thank you so much. I just really enjoyed. I pray you'll be a blessing to our listeners today. I'd like to kind of springboard off of John chapter 1, actually chapter 2, verse 5, when we were talking about Jesus, Yeshua's mother was saying to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And I think this is what I want to springboard off of, Marge. Here's why. Because when Jesus, Yeshua, is speaking, you know, there's kind of a condition there. Okay, we all know it. They're kind of conditioned, Pastor G.
Right.
What condition is that? When Jesus speaks, what is he looking for from us?
Response, the right yes. way.
Response, obedience.
Obedience.
Obedience,
right.
absolutely. And so through all this, and then also from that, we can see the manifestation. And it's from yielding ourselves, allowing him to do what he's called to do in and through us. And
right.
when you said about yielding, I think was such a key on word, is because it requires something of us. He wants to do it, Pastor Gene, but we have to
yield to his,
to his word and what he wants so he can manifest it through, you know.
That's right.
So we can see his manifestation. And with that, too, it says, yeah, what do we do when he speaks? And, of course, there's a response and obedience. And so what I just kind of want to open up, 15 times in the New Testament, it tells us that he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. So we are just add to saying that for our listeners too as well, that may we all have ears that we can hear. And so I'd like to kind of come back to something that spoke to me, Pastor Donna, was in Psalms 95.
Okay.
And it's interesting how everything starts out, it seems, with worship. You know, mm-hmm. worship. And so I kind of want to kind of bring us back to that, to the worship. I'd like to read, please, to verse 7. That's Psalms 95.
1 through 7?
Yes, yes, please. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord.
Mm.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Amen. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. And the sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And this is what I really want you all to kind of pay attention to. And listeners, if you don't have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles because you want to see this as well. Because this is going to come into everything we're talking about. Verse 7, it reads, for he is our God.
Mm-hmm.
We are the people of his what?
Pasture.
And the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. So I want to say that to you, listeners. Is he speaking today? Absolutely. He speaks to us all through the day. But let's look what it says here. Today, that's this day, if you will hear his voice. So he's speaking. So there's a condition then,
yes.
Marge. We have to hear his voice.
That's
he's
right.
speaking to us. And so, first of all, too, I'd like to say, listeners, and all of us, do we expect to hear from God? You know, we're reading of all these, how he speaks and the manifestations. Let me ask you, is he speaking to us today?
That's right.
Absolutely. And his word just tells us.
That's right.
He is speaking, but here's it is, we have to listen. And we're talking about some manifestations. I just kind of want to bring us back a little bit. What does the Bible say how he communicates to his people? In basically the Old Testament. So let's, and also these are manifestations, how you could see the manifestations of the Lord when he's speaking. Let's look, Pastor Gina, Job 30, chapter 38, verse 1. How does he communicate through us? Through a whirlwind, it says. Mm. Job, through the whirlwind. We have Exodus chapter 19, 18. How does he announce his presence? By an earthquake. See the manifestation of him. It's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Also, you'll find it in Job chapter 37, verse 2. And Psalms 104, verse 7. How does he speak in a voice that sounds like what?
Water.
Thunder.
And thunder.
And thunder. Thunder. And it, okay. How about Revelation chapter 4, March, verse 5? It reads to us. How do you think... I'll go ahead and read what you're looking. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, it says, we're told that the lightning and the thunder, the manifestation, proceeds what? From where? The throne in heaven.
That's right.
The throne in heaven.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. In Hebrews, how did it come there? The writers of Hebrew began long ago. At many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets.
That's right.
But in these last days, he has spoken to us. Amen?
Us, yes.
By his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the word. And that you can find that in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. So I just kind of wanted to share that with you real quick. And when I see, Pastor Gene, these kind of key words here that I'm kind of like looking at the verse 7 we just read, is the people of the pasture and the sheep. What does that remind you of? Where in the Bible, actually, Marge just took us there a while ago, and we're going to go there. That's why, listeners, I asked you to get your Bibles with us, because we're going to want to kind of travel through the Bible here a little bit. And we were just in it, the book of John.
Yeah.
Oh, amen.
The book of John. And where, what do we find in chapter 10? Listeners, I know you know this, the Good Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to just to read this real quick. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
But he that entereth in by the door is who?
The shepherd of the sheep. Yeah.
To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name that leadeth them out.
Amen.
So I just kind of want to interject a little bit by there. When it says that the sheep hear his voice, so we do hear the Lord when he does speak. And he also calls us by name. And he leadeth us out.
Yes.
Verse 4 even clarifies that even more. Doesn't it?
Can you read it for us,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
They know his voice.
That's right.
They know his voice. And that's what I kind of want to share a little bit about that. And yes, he is speaking us to us today. And but we have to listen, and actually with that yielding and that faith and that yielding to do what he says. And so when he speaks into us, it could be mostly through the word. And
Amen.
That's why it's so important to spend time in the word, because he'll speak through his word. And
that's
sometimes
right.
It's an audio voice sometimes that he'll speak that way. And if you'll allow me to share this real quick, I hope this blesses the listeners, because you know God so loves us in the midst of where we are in our journey, March. It really doesn't matter. And he takes us, you know, there. And I have to share this. I remember, and this is like 20 years ago, but yet it made such an impact on my life, Pastor Donna, that I was a mother of seven. And of course, you can just imagine, let me take you back to those early times of young motherhood, children running all over everywhere. And actually, I was cleaning at this moment. So I know God has a sense of humor. So I'm cleaning, and I have one little child on my hip, and like maybe a mop on the other side, mop the world. And I get this, and you know, my like something just impresses my heart. And it was like, call this lady. And you know, I'm you know, God speaking, I'm just listening. Sometimes it's just like that. He'll put something on your heart, you know? And I'm like, well, what's that? You know, so, and here I am. So I'll just go back to my work. It comes back again.
Yes. It's an unction.
Yes. Yes.
An unction.
Function. But it also is the unction to function. But I got to function.
Yeah,
right?
You got to function. Amen.
I got to do the functioning. So anyway, so it happened again.
Yeah.
And so, and here I start this dialogue. And I think this is what happens when we start to share the gospel. You know, we get in the middle of it. You know, God speaks to us, and then we, our fleshly self, wants to jump in and block that, sometimes that manifestation. So yeah. Here he is. He's suppressing my heart to call this lady, and I'm having this dialogue that, Lord, she doesn't know who I am. I met her one time, and what is she going to think of me when I call her? Okay, I pray this blesses the listeners, because what happens is self gets in the way.
Yeah.
And this is a great example.
Yes.
Is that I let myself, my flesh, get in the way of what the Lord was trying to do. And also, he was teaching me, and it was a great lesson that I'll be forever thankful for. You have something to share, Marge? Oh, okay. And you know what? The burden got so heavy on my heart. I said, I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. After much dialogue, you know. And so anyway, so I didn't even know her name. So I call one of my prayer partners. I was saying, you know, remember when we were at a women's conference and I gave the description of what she looked like. I said, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And I said, I need her phone number, if you could give it for me. So they gave me the phone number, and I called her up. Now, this is a lesson, and this is how good God is to us, that I said, you don't know who I am. You know, you've never seen me, you've never met me, but all I can tell you is that God has impressed on my heart to call you. I don't know why. She says, Melanie, she says, I just took off from work. I've been asked to be a leader at a women's conference. And I was just sitting here praying who were going to be my prayer warriors. And Melanie, you're going to be one of them.
Praise God, huh?
And I said, and then I knew. But here's how it has to happen. I have to die to myself so the Lord can have free reign and work right through me. And, I'll forever remember that.
Yes.
And because it's not about us. And I think this what happens in sharing the gospel, Pastor Gene, is that when we have a word, a lot of times we'll say, well, I'm not worthy. I can't share that, or I can't do this for him, or whatever. It's that self. And that's what we have to decrease so the Lord can increase in our lives, especially with what we're talking about. I just want to do a little wrap up real quick with the manifestations, is that God is more willing to use us. Mm-hmm. But I have to ask the questions to not only the listeners, but to ourselves. Are we willing for him to use us? And believe me, he'll use someone else, but he's choosing to use you. And I believe that once we step aside, we yield, we decrease of ourselves, he can have full reign within us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That word self you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
I got an acronym for that years ago.
Okay.
S-E-L-F. Self engages living fruitless.
Yes.
And that's what happened. When we got self all the time, well, then we're going to have a fruitless life.
And
we can't do anything for anybody else.
And then also, too, another quick thing you were mentioning about the suspicion with a manifestation and this is not going to happen to me or whatever. It's just that we've got to also trust what the Word says. And when he says here in that verse 7 again, today if you will hear his voice, he is speaking to us. He says it in his Word. But here, Pastor Donna, we can't contradict the Word. And so what we start to say, oh, no, he's not speaking. I don't hear him. Well, you're canceling it out.
Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
You nullify it.
That's right. And so for the lesson and for today, and hopefully this will bless the listeners, is that we got to completely step away. We have to stand on the truth, what the Lord says. He will do what he says he will do in us and through us if we yield and allow him to do. So that's what we want to do. We want to say, yes, the Lord does speak to us, and he is speaking me today. And I thank God what he's about to do through us. Amen.
I would just like to say one thing over here. I was thinking about while you were sharing in John chapter 4, where Jesus spoke to a woman who wasn't even wasn't a Jewish woman, and she wasn't a believer. But Jesus said, but the hour cometh, and now is.
She was a Samaritan.
When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You were talking about worship. Mm-hmm. And 24 says, God is a spirit. they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Everything has to be done by the truth of the word and by the spirit.
Yes.
And the woman goes on and says, I know that Messiah is going to come, in other words, and he's called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Well, Jesus went on and said, and I'm going to kind of reword this a little bit. He said, I'm going to read it how it is in the King James. He said, I that speak unto thee am. What if I said, I am he that speak unto thee?
Same thing, yeah.
Same thing. He was saying, again, coming back to the I am. He is the I am and the I am that we must listen to. And she listened to him, and she did what he said, and she believed. Oh, that comes brings us back to that obedience. That's
and her village, eventually the whole village got saved.
And the whole, and she, the greatest evangelist, probably, you know, in that time, that ever went. A woman. It was a woman. Praise
from
God.
From obedience.
And a Samaritan, right? Mm-hmm. So praise the Lord. She believed.
Praise the Lord.
So well, we're running out of time here, so I just wanted to give you an opportunity on the radio. You know, this we're talking about a faith walk and trusting God, and if you're born again, you can hear God. And I believe people that aren't born again can hear, because if we couldn't hear anything, how would we ever get saved? We only were called by the Spirit.
Yes.
So you may be listening and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never asked him to come into your life, but he's speaking to you right now through this radio program to come and follow me. Cast all your care upon me, and I'm going to take care of the rest of it. And it's got to be by faith, as we've been talking about. So it's obedience. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. And that's what he wants for all of us. So if you haven't made that decision for Christ, today would be a good day. Just ask him to come in. That's simple. And he'll be right there, and your whole life will be changed. It'll turn your life upside down. It did for Don and I on the same day, and we've never been the same since. So he'll do it for you as well. He's not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. It doesn't matter. He loves you with all of his heart, and he's calling you right now through these words. He's wooing you to come unto him, and you'll see a change in your life. Now, things might get turned upside down a little bit when he comes, but that's what he wants to do. He'll rearrange your heart in a different way. And so we just release that to you. So if you do make that decision, call us today. Donna, you give them the number.
And the number is area code 772-285-7007. And we're blessed to be on WCNO this day. We have service this afternoon at 2 p.m. So come at the Alliance Church at 2 o'clock and worship God with us on the Sabbath. And we just want to say we bless you and we thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life. And we can all hear from the Spirit of God.
That's right.
God is a spirit.
Absolutely.
And we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we say Shabbat Shalom.
And we tell you every week as we close this program to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Amen. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. In the mighty name. Go ahead, Margie, blow it.
Hallelujah.
She got a good one. Hallelujah.
That's a shofar.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
God bless you all. And have a blessed day.
Yes.
Blessed Sabbath.
Yes. Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.